Let's say our opening prayer. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master, Dearest Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Beloved David,
Beloved David,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
May my love thy home.
Be thou the only king. Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Peace. Bliss. Amen.
Amen.
Here, bear with me just a minute. I want to start off today with a video of Swami Muktananda. So today will be two things we're going to work on and or talk about, and that is Swami Muktananda's visit in June. We want to I'm preparing some videos that we can release more widely to people that'll go on our YouTube site. And I thought I'd ask you all to listen to one of them that gives you a good feeling for what Swamiji was like, and what those days that when we were there at the ashram were like for Papa Sannyas. And then the latter half we'll listen to a short piece of Mother on Good Friday. And then we can talk about Good Friday and that, if that's okay with everyone. Okay, this is on December 27th, and it's about 15 minutes, and it's Swami Muktananda on speaking about Papa throughout the day, and this was the late morning talk that he gave, and kind of the centerpiece of what he was doing. He was quoting a lot from Papa's own writings and showing, he's quite knowledgeable about Papa's teachings, of course, so. He has some nice insights here. But also he tells a story about how he taught some children how they can better serve their parents and how Papa taught about doing prayer that's self-originated. So we've gone to quite a bit of trouble. Judy did the subtitles. We had them done at rev.com. We had transcription or captioning done. And then Judy went through and fixed all the errors, which there were many on this talk.
Today one more activity was planned, but later on we dropped it. If every one of us can practice to originate our own prayer, then we thought practically it may not be possible, but still, this is another clue Papa has given. As we said the other day, he said four steps. One is the nearness, to feel his nearness. The second is to feel his presence within. The third is to feel his presence in all. And the fourth is to become one with him. So to develop the first stage of nearness, prayer is one method. Nama is one method. Another method is this prayer should be written in our own. So far we have been repeating the prayer composed by everybody to give us some guidance. But we have not still started praying. There have been many instances in many devotees' lives when the prayer come from the bottom of their heart, it was heard, for which a little bit of training is necessary. We don't have to stand on any protocols, any formalities. Just like a child's language is understood by the mother, it doesn't have to bother whether it is grammatically right or wrong, or the diction is right or wrong, or the modulation is right or wrong, that the mother can understand. So similarly, the indwelling Lord who gave us a human birth, who has been providing everything right from the start, right from the stage of our bijam, seed, up to this moment, does he not know what is needed? But he has given us a sense of freedom by which we can pray to him, and our language will be definitely understood, because he is the one who is giving us the language. So in our own language, we start. One devotee was passing through severest struggle, and then he used to write long letters every day, keep it before Papa's photo. Long, persevering. Not that one day you write and next day you write. No. Whether the fulfillment or the non-fulfillment is there, he kept on writing. And he had the feeling that it was heard. One more incident we would like to share. We had been to Tamil Nadu once. We don't exactly remember, somewhere near Tirunelveli or somewhere. We were taken to an ashram dedicated to Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Sharadamani Devi and Swami Vivekananda. So when we went there, a lot of people were there, we shared some thoughts, and then we were taken round. The manager said, please, the compound. There we found exactly like the Holy Mother's house, Jayarambati, yeah? Jayarambati. Exactly that thatched shed with a mud wall. And there we saw a beautiful, inspiring photo of Holy Mother. When we prostrated and got up, suddenly we saw a letterbox. So we asked him, what the letterbox? Then he said, many devotees come, they are subjected to go through many challenges, trying situations, and they find totally helpless. Whatever God has provided from outside, they have tried. Still there was no answer to their problem. So they write letters to Holy Mother. Mother will not ignore, na? Even if the entire world ignores, the mother will not ignore. So they write a letter, put it in the letterbox. And what he told us later, really it was touching. He said the moment they place the letter in the letterbox, they are satisfied. No matter what happens later, because their mind says, mother knows now. And mother do what is necessary for us. She may even still continue to test us, but we know. Previously we were not aware. Only we and the problem was there. Now the mother is there in between. She may have her own reasons, but at the same time, she is with me. She has come into the scene to take care of me, guide me. And once in a month or something like that, they take out those letters and then offer it to Agni Bhagavan. Nobody will read. Wonderful, you know. An easy way to communicate with him. When the link between us and him is stabilized, concretized, cemented through these simple methods. So we thought of giving paper and pencil and request everybody to write and keep it with them, no? Not with anybody. One more example, yes. It was sometime over 10 or 15 years ago, we had a camp in Bombay. That hill, isn't it? Matharan, yeah. It was a camp for children. So on the last day, last but one day or something, the organizer whispered into our ears that all of them are good, but they don't recognize their parents. the relevance, they don't respect. They have always complained, grumblings, they have not given this, they have not given that. Is there any method? Then we said, we will try now. So we immediately, you know, there were only 30 children, so we gave them a writing pad, a paper and a pen. And we told them, we explained about mother, yeah, first.
Now, Swamiji will be talking about his own mother. He doesn't very often talk about himself with the I. He says we when he means himself, and he says we when he means his people who work with him. So he's talking this time about his own mother.
God gave us the direct experience of the suffering of our mother in her last delivery. We were in a village area, not accessible to main road, no vehicle, no telephone. You can just imagine. She developed the labor pain. And then, somehow, that which has to push the baby, it got ruptured. And she was screaming. So, night, father tried with some homeopathy medicine. It did give some relief, but it was terrible. Screaming was going on. So at about 5 o'clock in the morning, father asked, you go to the nearest, you know, there is a place called Meenangadi, and you go to Varghese, he has got a jeep, and take the jeep and go to Ambalavayal, you know, there is another place, there is one doctor, he is a government doctor, you bring him. So 5 o'clock we started running towards this two and a half miles, through 3 to 4 kilometers, and when we reached this particular person, he was coming out to brush his teeth, and we told him, you know. Then he said, there is no driver. When he saw our body language, he said, wait, I will come. So immediately then we rushed up to the doctor, who is 16 kilometers away, and brought him back. And by the time we reached, it was already 11 o'clock. Mother had almost fainted. He immediately went in. When we went to the doctor, so many patients were sitting. So we barged into his room. We were young, 14, 15 years old. So then we explained, the doctor immediately said, young man, wait for a few minutes, I will dispose them. In 10 minutes I will start. And on those days nobody else is there. A big chest will be there, he has to put everything, forceps, chloroform, so many things. Cotton, nothing will be available in a village area, no? And then in 10 minutes we started, reached, by the time we reached, it was 11 o'clock. 5 o'clock in the morning we left. By the time she had fainted. So he went in, examined and came out and told father, we were all anxiously looking up to him. He said, either of them I will try to save them. And he went inside. For 3-4 hours, we don't know. When he came out, he said, mother is safe. And then his whole body was in blood, and the shirt, everything was in blood. He was very cheerful. He was very positive. We cannot remember. We cannot forget this. We cannot forget this face of the doctor, rather. Calm, serene. And then we gave him something. I don't think we have given him any fees also, but he was dropped back. In the evening, when chloroform, there was a risk involved. Many people don't recover from chloroform. By about 6 o'clock, everybody was tense. 6 o'clock, she opened her eyes. You know, first she asked, where is the child? When she was told the child is no more, mind you, it was her 9th child. She cried like a baby, you know, as if she had only one child. That was the 9th child, but still the same feeling. When we narrated this to the students in the Matheran camp, and then we told them, write a letter to your mother. We gave them 10, 15, 20 minutes. They wrote. We asked them one by one to come and read it out. Everybody will come, But by the time they are before the mic, you know, they started crying. They gave the letters to us. Many tried. Sharanya, you remember? Ah. She said, I will read. But then, no. I tried to read. I couldn't. Because what they have written, you know, we never knew that you suffered so much to bring us out. We never knew that for the next, after our delivery, for the next three, four years, we were harassing you. We never allowed you to sleep. We never allowed you to have your food. But you still did not complain. You did not curse us. We did not know that. Forgetting all that, we started complaining about you. Mummy, you should forgive. We will not hereafter do that. It was a wonderful experience, I tell you. Wonderful experience. It must have happened in 10, 15 years back, you know. Still it is so fresh in our mind, it has touched our heart. The power of writing, you know. The power of writing our own words. The feeling that we express in our own words. It has got its tremendous power. So that is why Papa keeps on insisting about writing in your prayer originated. So we wanted, but then we thought it may not be practically possible. But at the same time we request. This is the prompting Papa has given to all of us. Let us all try to learn to write these prayers, self-originated prayers.
Pretty amazing speaker, isn't he? Yeah. We were so moved by that. You can see when he first starts to talk about it, he's remembering something from his own childhood and he hesitates, thinking, can I get through this? Very sweet. And what a lesson for us all. So this is the man who's coming. Some of us have met him. He's really become something. He's grand, really grand in God.
I love the story about the mailbox too. You know, about the mailbox at the house. What a wonderful thing that, you know, you tell the mother and then even no matter what happens, you know, mother knows.
And that they feel relief at that point too is wonderful. Mm. Yeah. Mm. You know, he has the responsibility of this ashram. And Swami Satchitananda had been there since the late 40s. And so when he passed in 2008, and Swamiji stayed in the body to help him, because he had come late, I think 1994, before he came and stayed permanently. Actually, it was after, he didn't come permanently until 97 or so. And he had come back and forth. I think he had been first time to meet Mataji in the 80s. He never met Papa, although he was old enough. But he has this responsibility. And I remember in the first years that it weighed on him. I think it still weighed on him a little bit here. You know, he was very cheerful the days before, but at the same time you could feel the stress that he had this responsibility for doing these 7 days for Papa. And they had a program. But, you know, days before, Kate and I were there quite a few days before, they were saying like the 23rd, everything started on the 24th. 22nd or 23rd, they were, Swamiji was saying, and some others were with him saying, you know, we don't know how this is going to work. We don't even know how many people are coming yet, for sure. We don't know how this will be arranged. And I think on this day, on the 27th, he was still having that, and it was kind of the final. He could see the way through what he was doing was going to work, and so he relaxed and seemed to be happier on the days after.
But it was quite amazing to see that surrender of we don't really know how this is going to happen.
Yeah, it wasn't said.
You were having a Thanksgiving dinner, you didn't know whether 10 were showing up or 20, and here he's. I mean, there could be 700-800 people. We don't really know how this is all going to work. And he was quite calm and quite surrendered. It was mm-hmm. quite amazing.
And yeah. he wasn't being hyperbolic. He wasn't saying this. No, he was saying, this is really where we are. We don't know. Because people were asking.
Obviously, there were plans that had happened, that the place was all cleaned up and there were some arrangements. But just to see how the logistics of it all were going to.
One big thing, and they solved the problem, but one thing was just the bhajan, or sorry, the aartis that they do twice a day are crowded so much in the bhajan hall that there's no room. You can literally can't walk around. So they were worried about that because it was already crowded on days before. So the days of the 7 days, set it up so they would do and we would go in shifts of about 15 people. Hmm. And have them all lined up, the next shift all lined up or brought up and lined up, ready to go. 15 men, 15 women, 15.
Oh, you're talking about the flower ceremony.
Well, the flower ceremony, but also the, oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Outside,
that is, you're right.
They closed the bottom.
Yeah, the aarti, they brought it out to the group, didn't they? Yeah, sorry. You're right. It's the flower ceremony that they were doing that for. That was just once a day. Everyone having to cycle through the mandir, the samadhi room. It's a wonderful experience. I'm so very glad we went. We got to see so many things that time with how that ashram works. Really marvelous. What surrender they all have. So I feel very, very glad that he's coming. He's coming at a time when he's really ready for this outreach, and it will be, should be tremendous. You can see how well he speaks, and his expressions are so Indian and so beautiful too. It's quite amazing. Clarity of his mind and how he speaks about things. Really wonderful. You know, when I first met Swamiji, Swami Satchitananda, he was, it was just before that. I had come for the reading and he was doing the readings. I was just so, marveling at his beautiful voice. And as he was doing the reading, they were reading something, In Quest of God or something. And then when we came back in 1998, we all got to see him do the reading again. And he wasn't a Swami at that point. He was a gopi.
I have a question that's somewhat related. I was just wondering if anybody in our group ever met Papa, like from the old group.
Perlwin.
Yeah.
Perlwin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's the only one. Yeah. And Papa, father, of course, and mother, and that was it. Marge missed him by 1 year. She was there in 64.
The people who met him in 1954 when he came on his world tour.
Oh, good point.
What I was wondering.
So Gordon might have been the only one that we knew then.
Well, I was. Oh, 54. I don't think that Wynne and Kathy were there yet. That's right. But it's more like 56 or 57. So it would have been Gordon probably. And that was before Barbara Lutz too. So she was 1960 or so. Yeah.
I met him about 20 years ago. He came to my apartment. He didn't bring a physical body that time, but he was very, very much there.
Hmm. Why do you never invite me over at those times, Bob?
I didn't have any advance notice.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
And Bob, you said he was very what? I didn't hear the
very word. Present. He didn't say a word. He just radiated bliss. Mm-hmm. Like the Drumheller fountain, only bliss, not water.
Say that again, Bob. Like the
Drumheller fountain in U of Dub.
Oh.
Pouring out bliss.
I was wondering how Mother found out about Papa and connected to Papa.
Yes, it was just Bob Raymer. Now, they had sent letters, the ashram had sent letters to SRF, and I think, I'm not sure how Bob knew about it, but it might have been through SRF. And so they were planning, and SRF, interestingly, Papa said that they were the only ones who replied. So they had to kind of do some of the visits that they made just ad hoc. And so, but they had replied and welcomed him to come. Oh. When, and now this may have been just America, but I do know that they mentioned that no one else had replied back to the request to, or, you know, to see them. And then Bob Raymer somehow knew about Papa. Maybe, I just don't know, but he wrote to Mother and told her, you've got to
meet this guy. Bob was a fellow disciple of Master's.
He was a minister and a Kriya teacher also.
Larry is a quite a adventurer in meeting these personalities. And he went out to, what was it, Michigan, Larry? And
yeah, Song of the Morning Ranch in northern Michigan.
Yeah, Bob in, what was it, 97, 98, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. When was that? I don't know.
What, you spent 2-3 days with Bob?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Larry was the first one to Anandashram in our group, besides Mother. And Larry's quite an adventurer that way. So he's a good resource if you guys have questions.
You know, it's funny, though, Pam Kinnaird, Pam Thomas, who is a disciple of Mother's, went to Anandashram in 77 or so. And I remember her talking about it and being with Mataji. And then my brother also went. In, when Mother was there in ashram at in 77, but I think she was in Delhi. And he went, and my brother went down to the ashram at that time, but he met Mother Hamilton in Delhi or someplace up north and then went down to the ashram separately. But, and then Herwin, of course, but very few, and Marge had been there in 64 and 68 with Mother. But yeah, it's funny though, you know, Dave, as David always tells the story, the, Mother, he said, Mother, should I think about going to India? Would I, and she said, when your guru is living here. And she talked us out of it. She talked almost everybody out of it, you know, in that way. I'm not sure what she
didn't. She didn't go when Master was in the body, did she?
She didn't go to.
She didn't go to India when Master was in the
body.
Oh yeah,
she was pretty poor though in those days. You know, it was, they had to sell everything to get to, you know, in India. So, and maybe retired. The children were raised, and all that. You know, I think Billy was only in her teens when Master passed away. So. It would have been hard for her to do it in those days, especially.
Yeah. But your point's well taken, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Master was here, she was here.
Yeah.
I just wonder where all those people were that heard Papa when he came to Seattle. And I was reading that part of the book, and I was like, do I know anyone who was there? Or none of those people are still in the group, or they were
all too old now. They don't. Mm-hmm.
But they did. They left. You're right. There's a Mother went through a lot of people over the years. Were you there?
I don't know what point you're making, except that, you know, when you're on this path, you meet some people through our church many times. That are just tremendous, tremendous souls. And, you know, they come and they go, and it's all, you know, this friend, this eternal friend that we have, that's God, that appears in these different people. And it touches your heart in a way that you never, ever, ever forget it. So there's this man that used to come to church. His name was Fred, and he was a humble, humble man. He was a janitor at a church. And he came up to Seattle every single week from Vancouver, Washington, to see Mother speak. And at first he drove his car, and he completely, you know, just ran his car into nothing, you know, by coming back and forth every single weekend. And then he started taking the bus. And one time, you know, I was just a kid back then, but he needed a ride back down to Vancouver, and I was heading down to Ashland here. And so he, you know, I said, sure, I can give you a ride. And this man lifted me up so much. I will never forget him.
David has talked about him a lot too.
He was amazing. He would come. He was so humble. And Mother would speak, and he would get out of his chair. He was in the front row every time, and he would get out of his chair and he would prone on to Mother and lay completely flat on the floor and put his forehead on her feet. She'd tell him not to do it every single time, and he did it. And you couldn't be around this man without being lifted up.
Yeah.
And that's the people we have in our group. They're God people. You never forget them.
You know, another person who stayed with Mother all through those years, well, there's several, but Gordon Christian, he was with Mother very early on. And he was tremendous. I really enjoyed being with him.
He was a beautiful man.
He really was, yeah. He was devoted to Mother, and then, of course, Herwin. But I also think of Mary Michelle, one of my favorite people. So she was kind of like Bonnie Barno. She had a name, and she got along with Bonnie very close, very well. But she was very close to Mother's daughters, especially to Billy. They were almost best friends. And she stayed with Mother right through to the end, and she was there when Mother passed.
There when Mother passed, yeah.
When we went to the hospital, she was there. She and Billy and Barbara, then Kate and I and David.
But it would have been nicer, Michelle, you're right, if we'd heard somebody talking about that day that Mother writes about Papa coming and what that was like from another viewpoint. It would have been great.
Yeah. Well, just when I read it, it makes me feel like I'm there. Mm-hmm. But then that question just popped into my head, you know, about wondering if there was anyone there that's still connected somehow with our group. But yeah, it feels very, the book is, portrays it so well, and Mother in her description, that you feel like you're there and just, you can imagine, I mean, what an amazing thing to have Papa there.
Yeah.
He feels so intimate and yet so much larger than life, and to imagine him sitting in Mother's living room, you know, is just delightful to, it's like having the king come, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so to hear, it would just be lovely to hear from somebody's mouth that was in the room, right?
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the truth is we had Mother and we had David. And I don't know, I've got no way to judge the hierarchy of spiritual masters, but I think they were as great as anybody that ever lived, those two. Mm-hmm. And how many times have you had a cup of coffee with David, or sat and talked to him, or ridden in a car with him, or gone on a walk with him?
So many times. You know?
Mm-hmm. There'll be people, I think years from now, that are going to say, you knew David Hickenbottom? You knew him personally? What was that like?
I think that's true, Peter, absolutely. But with Papa, it's a little different because we weren't into it with him. And we didn't ever meet him. And he's this larger than life, especially after you've gone to the ashram. He's this larger than life figure.
Mother and David both certainly described him as God incarnate and the reverence that
any
they
of them that would
and
come
master and master
to us,
too.
And Can master, any of them that would have come to us and we would have known. It doesn't take away from our love and respect for our own gurus. To have seen.
You're never a prophet in your own town, right?
Exactly.
David certainly was. Certainly is.
Yeah. It's not that long.
In Sunnyside?
It's just that other, that, you know, that other saint we can.
All those different.
Imagine what that was like.
Different delicious flavors of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Mother had gone to meet him at the, you know, at the hotel. So she knew who was coming to her house, God coming to see God. But imagine just showing up for service that day when you knew somebody from India is coming and then you get to meet Papa. Just that would be, it would be quite a story for for those people to tell?
You know, one story we did have that's very interesting meeting Papa. We were down in Borrego Springs, and this is where Bob Raymer had a place. And we were down there visiting with Swami Vishwananda, visiting the Borrego brothers. If you remember, these were the monks who were living as Christians at that time and now have turned into being Swamis. But they had visitors that day. It just happened to be they drove by. And Martel Raymer, Bob Raymer's wife, was there. And so was another woman, came with her. And when they discovered who we were and what we were talking about, and then Prem, Papa's grandson, was there with us. Right. And it was really quite amazing, miraculous, really. They just happened to drive to go by and knew about the place. And Martel was quite dynamic, really wonderful, sweet person. But the other woman, a little bit older than Martel, and she was very sweet. And she says, you know, I met Papa in 1954. And everyone said, what? So I know you guys, some of you have heard this story, but it's worth telling again because it kind of fits into what Michelle was asking. She said that she was on a train. I think Kate told this recently, too. She was on the underground, going along in New York City, and it occurred to her that someone had said something about this saint coming from India, Swami Ramdas. She looks in her purse. She thinks, I think I have got a note on it. Sure enough, the note says the date and the location that he was going to be, and she says, oh, that's today. Oh, I have to take this next stop. To get there.
Papa.
She gets right off the train. She gets, and she's right there within a few blocks of where Papa is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. She goes up and she
meets had that in her purse for like a few weeks. Yeah. And she hadn't even thought, somebody gave it to her. She goes, oh yeah, you know, and she puts it in.
I don't think she said, oh yeah. She was thinking it was interesting, but it wasn't like it was the crucial thing. No. Yeah. It wasn't like it was, oh, I've got to. But she put it aside, thought, and she didn't think about it from that point on. What a story. Amazing story.
Classic Papa.
She won the prize that day for amazing story.
So then she found it. She went to the place.
Yeah, and she went to the floor, to the hotel and up to the floor and met Papa.
Where he was giving a talk, but she got to meet him perfectly.
It was in that hotel that Papa was asked, will there be a World War III? Will there be a nuclear, explosion? Ramdas has said it will not happen. In fact, that's where I got this 2:30 idea. He says, what time is it? He said, someone said, 2:30. I think this is in World as God, but Ramdas says, at this day, on this time, there will be no World War III. So he took on the responsibility for preventing it. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, in those days, it was all thought to be a nuclear war. So, of course, it turned out to be true. Well, let's listen to this. This little short talk by Mother. Ah, there it is. Okay. So this is Good Friday service. Oh, that's interesting. Is it, Kate? Was the date right? I thought this was the Wednesday before Good Friday. But anyway, she had been reading quite a bit. And then at this point, she broke off and started talking.
Oh, it was a Good Friday service. Well,
it says Good Friday service, so it must be. You must be right. Yeah, I thought it was a Wednesday for some reason. So tell me if you can hear this.
This is the day when all men worship very specially because of the crucifixion of Jesus, the Son of Man. They have trod the cross, the way of the cross with him in their consciousness. Perhaps they have faced themselves. Perhaps they have seen what is within their own cross, which is their body. and they do not like what they see. We come, all of us, to find the realization of our oneness with God. We will not do this by sharpshooting one another. It was Christ who said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. What did he bring the sword for? He brought that sword that he might cut the evil out of man's lives, that he might separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are those who treasure the word of God, who want their oneness with him, who every moment of their lives are thinking about him, loving him, serving him, wanting and working toward their union with him. And the goats are those that keep their consciousness on worldly things, that are constantly backbiting, that are constantly doing things that they know that they should not do. They are constantly catering to the things of the senses and not the things of the spirit. They are like the 10 virgins, 5 of whom have the oil in their lamps and the other 5 who fail to put that oil in. And so are the sheep and the goats, because the sheep are known of God. The sheep are known of the Christ who is said to be the Lamb of God. And these will be with him in paradise. Believe me that this paradise is within you if you will only seek it. Seek it in every thought, word, and deed of your life. Purify yourself during this holy season and make this purity last within you. Do not give it up. As the last and holy and sacred gesture to the Son of Man who died on the cross, let us do away with all of the things that we have been working on and trying to give up, and in one grand swoop, relinquish all of it at the feet of God. Take your vow before him that you will no longer indulge in these things, but rather that you will purify yourself before him, that you may ascend into the kingdom of heaven within yourself and know the Father through Jesus Christ the Savior within yourself. Remember that all takes place within each man. Because what is this outer world but a mirage? It is that which man has built out of the depths of his own consciousness. He's built it with the ideas that were given to him, with the materials that were given to him and which he purchased perhaps. And he has built them with his own hands, with his own thoughts and words and deeds. But when you close your eyes and you sleep, the world ceases to exist. And the amazing thing is that you can go within yourself and through the methods of meditation which are given you, through the techniques which are given you, that you can go beyond waking and sleeping into that tremendous presence of God which is within you. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within. Ye are God, ye are the temple of God. And so today is a symbol of that temple being rent asunder. The curtain of the temple is cast aside, and you are face to face with death itself. But remember that the Son of Man must die. He must be transformed into the Son of God before he can ascend into the kingdom of heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father, fully heir with the Christ. It is not impossible. Why do we keep thinking always of his coming on the outside, when truly, as he himself said, that God and the kingdom of heaven are to be found within, and therefore, if that be so, he will come a second time out of the heaven of our own beings when we have so purified ourselves to receive him. Do not wait for this outer image that has been put before you historically, but go inside of yourself. Meditate on him day and night. Give him all of yourself, and you will be lifted up into his glory. as you have never dreamed of before. You will be filled with the bliss of His presence, and your whole life will change, never to be the same again. Now let us meditate a little more on some more music.
Mother had Good Friday service quite commonly. Peter's going to come up on Friday with Kate, and I will be traveling to St. James Cathedral for the Good Friday service there. It's quite beautiful. What a voice she had, the power and authority, my gosh.
Listening to that, my sense was she was in a great Colosseum speaking. It felt like she was speaking to thousands.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it something to listen to a minister speak from firsthand experience?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I grew up, all the ministers I ever listened to, you know, they were good people, but they quoted out of the Bible or they read. It was all secondhand. Mm-hmm. Secondhand. You know, this prophet says this. The Bible says that. And when Mother spoke, it was with the authority of somebody that had experienced it.
Yeah. And David also. Mm-hmm.
Was the only thing that would work for me, I think, was meeting David, and I don't think I could have ever believed secondhand. I needed to see it for myself.
And yeah. You know what's so cool about their teachings is they would essentially say, hey, I've been there, but don't take my word for it. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the firsthand experience. Mm-hmm. Whereas it seems like some religions are telling you, oh, no, that's not accessible to you. You have to take our word for it, you know. And so I agree with you, Jill. I love the message that they gave us. They said, you find out. You discover.
And I was like you.
Yeah. Oh, she always.
That's kind of hard to imagine, but yeah. I mean, it was nice they gave us the benefit of the doubt that way.
Well, it's interesting that the stigmatis would have great blood flow and great pain during this Good Friday period. Most of them, or many of them, had every Friday they had St. Teresa Newman, I believe, didn't she have blood flowing every Friday?
She would go into the trance. Was it on Thursday she'd go into the trance or Friday morning?
I don't remember the story. That's in the one in the autobiography, that story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or have you read about her separately, I suppose? Yeah.
I think it's from the autobiography, mm-hmm. from David talking about.
So we were just with some Ananda people today, and when we were in Assisi, we were told about this writing. It was from somebody who was a disciple of Padre Pio's and said that Master Yogananda met Padre Pio. I think we wrote about this in our writings, but. It's quite amazing to think that that he, you know, why would he go to St. Teresa Newman and not go to Padre Pio? I mean, just in the sense that there was much more knowledge, a much more famous person. Mm-hmm. Padre Pio was much more famous. What did Arudra say, Kate, about masters being in? Master being in Jerusalem, wasn't it, in the Holy Land? And he said, as he was there, that he knew that these were the places that Jesus was at. In other words, we were talking about the Holy Sepulchre and the Via Dolorosa, which is the road from the Mount of Olives to the Holy Sepulchre and the Mount of Golgotha. And whoever it was, I think it was Arudra was the man's name, who's a disciple of Kriyananda's. And lives in Assisi. So he was saying something to that effect, that Master confirmed that Jerusalem was the holy city.
They say Master met Padre Pio when he was meeting all those other saints on that same trip or something?
Yes, during his trip to, exactly, to Italy. And he traveled to Assisi. And then he also traveled down to, down south in Italy to a town called San Giovanni Rotondo.
But he just didn't include that in the autobiography.
Because it was, would get Padre Pio in trouble. Was the story?
Because
it was during a time when Padre Pio had a commandment from the bishop or the cardinal in his area, maybe from the Pope, not to be public, not to see the public. He went through several times like that. He was a controversial person. There were some.
They weren't happy with him. They weren't happy with him having the stigmata.
Right. And there were some, you know, they were being told that it was faked, and all of these things are part of being a saint in the Catholic Church. But he never gave up his obedience to the Church, nor did St. Teresa, nor did Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So that's something that they felt they had to do. They didn't want to undermine the Church because that was so valuable to the people who were in it. Doesn't mean the leaders who were running it had to be perfect. And, you know, from the leader's point of view, it is difficult to confirm these things. It really is. Pope John Paul II would love to have gone to Medjugorje, but it was so new and it was still being investigated. He didn't want to have a big argument, public argument about it. And so he told people who were from there or who asked him if he would come that he would love to have come, but he couldn't do it just for, and I don't mean political. This is the best thing for what he sees as the Church and and the people who are in the Church. So everything's political if you look at it that way, but these are decisions that have to be made by leaders. Yeah. Kate and I just can't imagine John Paul II without calling him JP2 after hearing this one nun started us on that. But that's what all she was saying, that that's what everyone calls him. It's such a delightful thing. And she laughed when she told us. What a thing.
Part of the story with Padre Pio, that one that they told us, he was kind of supposed to stay in his place and not come out. But when Master came, he just said that this is a great master, and I have to break that rule.
Let him come up. I actually have some writings that Arudra shared with us. Yeah, he said, let that holy man in, something like that, wasn't it?
God meeting God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had a really wonderful time this morning meeting the Nanda devotees from Assisi. I think it'd be nice to talk about that a little bit.
I was hoping you would after you teased us with it.
Well, I mean, it was, you never know, right? You never know what's going to happen. And we loved Arudra, and he showed us really all around the Assisi ashram there near Assisi. It's not in Assisi, but it's near there. And beautiful grounds that they have. And really gave us a great treatment. And but we never reached. I couldn't reach him on email, so he wouldn't respond to me. And he apologized when he saw me today. But anyway,
I told you.
You're right. Well, that's what Zach was saying too, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't personal.
I know it's hard to believe.
Yeah, well, you know, we're also wondering how, you know, Mother's teaching. Mother herself is a somewhat controversial figure in Ananda, and she and Kriyananda had some difficulties. But at any rate, we just had a love fest this morning. It was just wonderful. So there was Arudra's wife. Her name is, let's see now, she said Maria. Mahia. So you place the R with an H. And that name was given to her by Kriyananda in 1999. Uh-huh. So she's only maybe 40 or so now. 45 or 43, and she was quite young going to Ananda Village, and then she moved to Assisi shortly after. And then also a German girl named Ruby. She said that's very unusual in Germany, virtually non-existent as a name, non-existent. But that remind me, Kate, what was the story behind her name? What was it? Her mother saw – oh, Cat Stevens. Cat Stevens song. That's a great story.
He was a Ananda family, but a lot of people in family. But I mostly just talked to Arudra's wife, who we met in Assisi, because I can't remember if she was ill or she was away. But I had a very good connection with her and really enjoyed.
We were really, really high. We really
the best we the best just... connection I've had other than with Zach, you know, of course, but with an Ananda group, because I've always had that. A little discomfort around the Kriyananda thing, but the very, very nice, real devoted people. And
then there was one other woman. Her name was Vahini. She's Italian. She's the only Italian of the four that came.
Oh,
the other three were English, Croatian, and German. Oh. So very interesting. And they're traveling over to Eastern Washington for a few days. And then Zach was there.
Yeah.
And and then there's a man named Brian who traveled with Zach.
From the Ananda group.
Well, but Brian traveled with Zach to San Giovanni Rotunda and La Verna, whereas Arudra only traveled with him for some part of it. Brian seemed to have traveled with him the whole time.
Yeah.
And then there was a man named I'm going to forget his name, but anyway, Rodney or something like that, and. But they were sitting at the other end of the table, so Kate and I didn't speak to them until afterwards.
But Brian lives at the farm.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Two or three others that lived at the farm. Okay.
The energy around that table was literally really, really wonderful, really, really good. I mean, it was a beautiful, loving, and understanding and great depth to the conversation. And it was quite a wonderful experience. So these are our cousins, at least. Just like our SRF people are, who are more of our cousins who don't accept it, don't acknowledge us.
The rich cousins.
Yeah. the ones who ended up with the estate. the Earl's estate, yeah. Although we've had many good interactions with the SRF devotees too.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely to hear.
Yeah.
All master's children. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Zach and Rudra tend to use this. Rather, we would say Papa's will, Mom, you know, God's will. They always say Divine Mother's will, like Master used to. So. Mm-hmm.
Zach did the service this last Sunday. He gave the sermon at Ananda and quoted Mother quite a bit.
Oh, no kidding.
Not naming her, but.
Oh, no kidding. Very interesting.
No kidding.
Yeah. This is every person's journey. This time of crucifixion.
Ah, because of it's topical, isn't it? Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much rich. You know, we were talking about that today. That as Mother stands, you know, apart from her teachings are apart from so much of what the other lineages and people associated with Master.
Yeah.
And
Ananda has a lovely. They have a lovely focus, which is that there's only joy. God is only joy, and so everything is joy, and so that's their. That's their mission or their focus.
And that's very much a teaching of Kriyananda. If you look at the pictures of him, you will see him smiling in the latter years of his life. He smiles and he really is joyful. Well, joyful.
I understand why people would be attracted to that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, Zach said to us today, reading he's been reading the Mystical Crucifixion his second time, and he says, not too many people would really get this book, understand. It's a little much for a lot of people. I was telling him, David used to say about how amazing Mother was that she could sell.
Must have been the greatest salesperson in the world.
Well, she, of course, demonstrated God's power so much in her own life, too. Her stories were quite powerful.
And it's when you recognize that, and you realize it's what you've been looking for.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's why we're all here.
One thing I said to Zach as we were talking about our earlier life and what it was like and how we came to meet to Master or get associated with the spiritual path. And it struck me that, you know, after I left the seminary, within a few months after that, maybe a half a year, I was kind of just dropped away from the church and became kind of an agnostic atheist, you know, and that lasted for about 8 years. But I said, it's funny though, I didn't have, you know, I never had any hatred against the Catholic Church, you know, like so many people do. I didn't have any axe to grind. I felt I was as guilty as anyone as far of the why I left. It was more to do with me than it was to do with the church. And I actually had really, looking back on it, exemplary people as priests and stuff too, and priests before I was in the seminary too. But it occurred to me that so strongly right then that what I was following from that point on was what my notion of destiny was. Mm-hmm. And that this is what we follow if we don't have God. And so it is a way to move forward. It is a way we know there's something great in store for us. There's an element. I mean, you feel sorry for people who don't have any of that. And I understand that that can be very, very difficult. And I've had my times of very dark times. But at the same time, if you don't have God, that's what started off. How do you handle all this world without God, you know? And I had to think about what was I doing at that time? Because I was optimistic and looking forward, but I didn't have God. And yet, when I read the autobiography, I realized what I was missing so strongly. It was immediately, part of my destiny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, that Swami Muktananda has really got into me. I can hear his voice. I'm sorry. I swear.
There has been many hours with him every day.
Such an expressive way, yeah. He's something else. I think we're really lucky to have him coming here.
There's a layer that's been removed from him. That's just showing his depth so much.
He's crossed over. As I say it, I can feel it. He's crossed over. I don't know that he's fully realized, but he's come through some really, really, and these are difficult things, and they're not easily shared. They're not, you know, he doesn't wear it on his sleeve. It is really heavy weight on his shoulders, and he's, you know, obviously learned to put it on Papa's shoulders. To be on the train and put your load down and let the train take you. Let Papa's train take you is the right way to think of it. So, I was going to mention, we're going to put out some videos to prepare people for Swamiji's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get a feeling for him. And there's so much. Because of these 7 days, we have recorded talks. He probably gave 2 talks a day. And with different themes and different things. You know, he calls them, it's pretty funny, he calls them PPTs, PowerPoint.
PPTs.
The extension on the file name is not PPT. So he says, the PPT, well, we're going to have a PPT here. And they love acronyms, you know, Indians do. Almost as much as we do.
they went actually PowerPoint.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He has lots of PowerPoints. He likes them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Larry, will these videos be on our Cross and Lotus website?
Yeah. There's one up right now, by the way. This includes this little excerpt I did tonight. The one that's up there now is public. And so I'm going to write a little introduction for that. And then this particular piece we just heard today is going to be excerpted out and put into a separate video on self-originated prayer. I've almost got that done. And then I'll just send them out once a week or a couple of weeks maybe. If it depends on, it's so much work though to go through it. It's quite, takes a lot of time. I'm amazed. And then the other thing we're doing for Easter, Peter, tell me what you think about this, but I was thinking of playing this video originally, but I played it tonight, so think about that. And then also after service, after we have our potluck, I was going to have a slideshow that David did of his 2013 trip that is just about done. Probably have that done in the next day or so. That's what I'm working on mostly.
Spent days on that one too, because syncing up the pictures with his voice, because David's doing it live, of course, and saying, now here's the picture of such and such, and then he speaks.
But we don't know what he's talking about, except we look at the picture and say, oh, he must be in this picture. So I move that picture on the timeline to the place on the audio, syncing the audio to that. Mm-hmm. But it's been great, actually, too. I've really enjoyed it. And then Rebecca's helped me choose. David continues to talk. Unfortunately, about an hour, a little less than an hour in, the slideshow on his computer just locks up, and he couldn't access any of the pictures. So he continues to talk. So it's an hour and a half, hour and 40-minute talk. And the latter part, we just are going to put the slides from that time up there, and then with a little explanation for each one, for each group of slides, so what's going on, because you'll be listening to David and just seeing video. It's better than just hearing the talk, since it's what we already had been listening to. But he has some very, very interesting stories, too. Mm-hmm. I'll enjoy it.
Thank you for all your work on that. Sounds great.
Thank you, Larry and Kate.
Becca, too, and Kate.
This is Larry. I've been doing other things. This is all Larry.
Yeah, it's most enjoyable. Yeah, it's a great privilege.
It really is. Larry, the website, is that
changing at Easter too?
Yes, it is. That's right. Now, the YouTube website, which was asked about earlier, that will, of course, be the same. But the crossandlotus.com, that will be now pointed to a different location, a different place.
Okay. And then, it's going to be a surprise for us as well. Mike's doing it.
We haven't seen
Harry's done a lot of background work for him.
I've had to get him all the files and get the files renamed and
put in a slot. We haven't seen anything that, any more than you have.
Now, we'll probably have the old website, which will be still functional, on the available with a different, it'll be crossandlotus.org or something else like that, so people can go to it if we were having trouble with the new one, which often happens.
It will be there still. Okay.
Yeah, because it's really independent. The new one is just all these things copied over to the new site. Yeah.
When you do that, be sure and let Mike know. I'm sure he knows this, but to take all the links out there on YouTube and everything and link them back to the new site.
Right. That's actually Mike hired a person to do that who's a specialist in that. You poke around, no matter how good a job you do, you poke around in a new piece of software and it's all kinds of problems. Probably we'll see a few, but having a professional do it is really nice. So.
So lots of Easter surprises.
Easter eggs.
An Easter.
Easter eggs, that's right.
Well, thank you, Mother, for bringing us all together. Where would we be without you and without Master? It doesn't bear thinking of. So let's say Mother's closing prayer too. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
Surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Peace, bliss. I forgot to play a meditation music and I had it set up, so we'll play it now. And then we can leave at our own leisure. Oh, I have to share again.
You're sharing computer sound already there. You're already set up that way.
I know, but I took it off because I was doing it differently.